Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom to you all, my dear friends and dear brothers and sisters. We are blessed to continue with the study together of the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Yohanan. And in this ministry meeting, we are going to conclude with the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John. I think this passage in the Gospel of John is very important to help us appreciate that which Yeshua, Jesus, our Lord and our Messiah, sought to present before the spiritual leaders of Israel, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and actually before all men today, religious men and non-religious men. How wonderful this passage that really present before us the fact that there is and there are witnesses to witness concerning the claims that the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, claimed to be God the Son, to be the Son of God, Ben HaElohim, also to be co-equal with HaAbba, with the Father, and one of the triunity persons of the Godhead. I believe that this is so important because, again, once and again, the theme and the purpose that Yohanan, John, wrote this fourth gospel is that the one who hears of the person of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, will become a believer on him. And you remember in John chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31, we have already mentioned it many times, and I'm mentioning this again in this ministry meeting. And many other signs, in Hebrew, otot, and many other signs truly did Yeshua in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. That is the Gospel of Yohanan, the Gospel of John. But these are written that ye might believe, notice there, that ye might believe that Yeshua is the Mashiach, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Christos, the Mashiach, the Anointed One. And he continued, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God hath not life, shall not have life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So now please follow me as I'm reading in John chapter 5 from verse 30 to the end of the chapter, to verse 47. And I'm reading, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he beareth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from men, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of Yohanan. for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, Moshe, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moshe, Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writing, how shall ye believe my words? Now, my dear brothers and sisters, beloved friend, this is such an amazing passage that we have here before us in John chapter 5. It is so important for us to grasp what Yeshua is seeking to teach here and what the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaElohim, seek to emphasize in this passage. If we only allow the Spirit of God to speak to us, we will see how important this passage here in John chapter 5 and verses 30 to 47. You see, in this passage of the Gospel of John, John is presenting before us once again the importance of the deity of the Mashiach, the deity of the Messiah. And here, to remind you, the Lord Jesus is continuing here in his deliberation with the spiritual leaders of Israel, to remind you that in the pool of Bethesda, Yeshua healed that man that was for 38 years had an infirmity, and he said to him, "Rise up, take up the bed, and walk." The problem was, of course, that he did this on the Shabbat day, and that displeased the Jewish leaders of Israel, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And we read that the Jewish people, the spiritual leaders of Israel, were not happy because Yeshua did this on a Shabbat day. Now, always bear in mind, when we are speaking here in the Gospel of John, Beit Chasda, in the city of Jerusalem, all the story, all the event happened among the Jewish people. In a sense, what we read here is an event that occur in between the Jewish community. It happened there. We have this Jewish man who was for 38 years had an infirmity. The disciples were there. They were also came from Galilee, the Jewish people from the Galil. Yeshua the Messiah is in the midst there, and he himself was born to the Virgin Miriam among his Jewish people. The reason that I'm saying it is because whenever you read the Jews in the context of the Gospel of John, it's always emphasized the Jewish leaders. The whole community there was, it's a Jewish event that happened right here in the city of Jerusalem. And it is always important to bear in mind, because now he is continuing to speak. He already declared that he is equal with God the Father. Now imagine, he is not speaking in any place in the world that the nations of the world did not know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's speaking to a people, to our nation, that knew and believed and had the Torah in their hand. And therefore it was such a conflict that existed, because the Torah should have let our people, the Jewish leaders, to know that he was the Mashiach. But over the generation, there were so many things that had been added. Instead of going only by the written law, there was the belief in oral law that went beyond what the written law had been commended for the people of Israel. And therefore, you can see what is going on here, because the conflict went simply between the Messiah that came to fulfill the law for the nation of Israel and introduce himself as the king of Israel, and the Israelis, the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders who did not want to recognize him because they have departed from that which was given by the Torah, by Moshe himself. So notice what we read here now. So we saw that he healed the man that was for 30 years had an infirmity. He says, rise up, take up thy bed and walk. He did it. Yeshua did it on a Shabbat day. Then Yeshua continued in the verses we studied earlier that he claimed to be equal with the Father. And we read that he said in these passages that verse 20, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. And again, you remember how the spiritual leaders of Israel were not happy that he claimed to be equal with the Father. And that's where we read the verses previously, that they were not happy. They actually wanted to stone him because he claimed to be equal with the Father. And so now, beloved friends, we are coming to this passage, verses 30 to verse 47, in which we learn that Yeshua claimed that there are witnesses to prove that he was a divine person. And so you notice that the scripture, the word of God, the Torah, the Tanakh that was given in days of old, did provide and required that there will always be more than one person to give a witness in order to set things right. In fact, there is the verse that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 19 says, in Hebrew, al pi shne edim, or al pi shlosha edim yakum davar, at the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15. And so now the Lord Yeshua the Messiah is now, you might say, proving to the spiritual leaders of Israel that he is not only saying of himself, claiming that he is the Mashiach, that he is the Messiah, like many others have done it in past days, like Antiochus Epiphanes, who claimed that he is God and wanted people to worship him some couple of hundred years before Jesus the Messiah came, and like the Antichrist in the future day, the counterfeit Messiah, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he will claim to be God. He will sit in the temple and claim that he is divine, seeking everyone to worship him. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4 about the one that is the man of sin, verse 3, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In other words, the counterfeit Messiah will do so in the future, and many have done that before the Mashiach, the true Messiah, came, like Antiochus Epiphanes and many others who claim to be the Messiahs. And like in this church age in which we live in, there were those who claim to be the Messiah, claim to be divine. This 2,000 years of church history, people who claim that they are the Messiah. And you can see it happen throughout the history of the human race, that someone always rises up being influenced by Satan, claiming that he is a divine person, that he is equal with God, or that he is God. But the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, now want to show the spiritual leaders of Israel that he does not claim this of himself, but that there are witnesses to prove that he is indeed the Messiah, equal with God the Father, and indeed God himself who became a man, the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Redeemer, to come to provide redemption for mankind. So listen, beloved brothers and sisters, to these verses 30 and 31. And so in verse 30, Yeshua said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So now what he's telling these spiritual leaders of Israel, that he is co-dependent upon his Father, because he is God the Son, co-equal with God the Father, and anything that a Godhead does, there is always unity, harmony. All the triune persons of the Godhead, always, throughout eternity, we know in Scripture, there is one mind, the mind of Elohim, the mind of God. Now that he have entered into this world and became a man for the purpose of redeeming the sinful human race, nothing changed because he is still divine. He is always, Yeshua the Messiah is God and man in one. And the reason that he took union, humanity with his divine nature, because sin had to be paid for. And punishment must come upon sin and a sinner. So God in his love for man took union humanity with his divine nature. God the Son became a man. And now he is living on earth until he would go to the cross where the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, will die as man for the sin of this world. So we read here, notice he says, I can of my own self do nothing, because what I hear I judge. My own judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, I seek the will of my Father. You can see in a sense that he, even in his humanity here on earth, he showed complete dependence upon God the Father. In verse 31, the Lord Jesus said, I do not want to give witness of myself. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. In other words, you see, you must put in between the words, you will say that my witness is not true. In a sense, what he's saying to them, if I will give witness of myself, then you will say that my witness is not true. And why? Because Israel, throughout the history, knew on a basis of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 19 and verse 15, that you never condemn anyone unless you do it on a basis of two or three witnesses. Let me read to you in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. This is a God-given principle that any condemnation, any accusation, must be based upon the two or three witnesses shall any matter be established. And this is very important, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend. This is a principle that is carried on into the days in which we live in, into the new covenant, that it is only on the basis of two or three witnesses shall anything be established. It was the apostle Shaul Paul who wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and he says, this is the third time that I am coming to you, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. In other words, he wanted the Corinthians themselves will understand. Any believer today, that we can never judge, we can never condemn, we can never evaluate anything unless there are two or three witnesses who are true witnesses concerning the things that we seek to find guidance from the Lord. So you notice verse 30 and verse 31 are very important verses. In verse 32, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, continued to say, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. And then you notice, he, of course, directing the thoughts of those who heard him, of course, to the person of God, that God is the one, the Father is the one who will bear witness of him, and he will be the one that will show that Yeshua is indeed truly came, sent by God the Father. But now, beloved friends, notice the human witness that we have here in this portion of Scripture is, first of all, the person of John Yohanan Hamadbil, John the Baptizer. And so now notice that in verses 33 and 34 and 35, in these verses, the first witness that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, bring, you might say, to the witness stand is John the Baptizer. It says in verse 33 about John, it says, ye sent unto John, unto Yohanan, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I receive not the testimony from men, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He, this is John, Yohanan, he was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. So immediately, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, the Yeshua is taking the spiritual leaders of Israel, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who did not want to acknowledge that he was indeed the Messiah, and that he was equal with God the Father, and that he was one of the triunities of the Godhead, and that he was divine, he was God the Son, he immediately directed them to John the Baptizer. And you remember in chapter 1 of this very same gospel, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same bear witness, you see, John bear witness. He bear witness to the light that all men might believe in him. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So in other words, John the baptizer bore witness to that light, namely to the person of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And John proclaimed, if you remember, John says that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hikonu, be ready, prepare, because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, you remember what the Lord, he says, John bear witness, you sent to him someone to ask him about me. You remember it says in John chapter 1 and verse 15, John bear witness of him, namely of Yeshua the Messiah. And he cried and he said, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we receive, and grace for grace, chesed al chesed. For the law was given by Moshe, but grace and truth came by Yeshua the Messiah. God gave the law, the holy law, through Moshe. But no other man, an ordinary man, could now become a redeemer. That's why God himself sent the Messiah Yeshua to fulfill the very law that he gave to Moshe. And so the Lord Jesus present before the spiritual leaders of Israel his first witness. You sent to John, John chapter 5 and verse 33, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I don't even receive only the testimony for men, but these things I say that he might be saved. In other words, he's saying to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you send messengers to John. John bear witness concerning me. And I want you to know, I do not receive even the testimony from men, but whatever thing I say, that I say it because I want you to be saved. I want you to receive forgiveness of sins. And so in verse 35, John was to Israel like a burning and a shining light. He was like a burning and a shining light, the Lord Jesus say concerning John the Baptizer. He was a burning and a shining light, but then notice what it says, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. And beloved brothers and sisters and dear friends, for a season, you remember all Judea and all Jerusalem went down to John, Yohanan, by the Jordan River. And of course, there were the many that did come and repented and prepared themselves for the coming of the Messiah, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. But also the Pharisees and the Sadducees came down, and John had to reprove them. He says, bring works that meet for righteousness. And he wanted them to prepare themselves for the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Savior. But sadly, as the Lord says, you were willing only for a season to rejoice in his light. But it was only for a season. It didn't take too long, and John's message was no longer a message that affected the spiritual leaders in Israel. We read in Matthew chapter 11 these words, verses 7 and verse 8. We read, and they departed, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. You see that? And in other words, John went to the wilderness, and when people came to see him, when people came to hear his word, they saw that he was a prophet. And the Lord is saying about John, but what went ye out to see? This is Matthew 11, verse 9. A prophet, yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. This is a quotation from the prophet Malachi. He was that messenger. According to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, he was the messenger that came to prepare the way of the Lord. And that's why John was such a unique man. Yeshua said of him in Matthew 11:11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than Yohanan the Baptizer. Notwithstanding, he that is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. In other words, there was no greater man than John the Baptizer, yet anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus the Messiah today is greater than John in a sense, not because he's godlier, but because he or she belong to the Redeemer and are forgiven and part of the heavenly present-day Church of God. And this is tremendous to appreciate for those who are believers. Now, as we continue, beloved friend, after Yeshua presented before the leaders of Israel the first witness, who was really a man, and a man that was alive in the midst of the nation when he came to present himself as the Messiah of Israel. Yet the Lord said in verse 34, I receive not testimony for men. I really don't need any testimony for men, even though John the Baptizer came to give testimony to the Messiahship of Jesus. Yet the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, says, I do not receive testimony for men. And that's why he is now leading in his conversation to another witnesses that are really witnesses that are greater than the men, John, Yohanan the Baptizer. Notice in verse 36, he is now presenting witnesses, you might say, that are greater than the witness of John himself. And notice how beautiful. I think this is such a tremendous passage, beloved brothers and sisters, in John, where we are now, John chapter 5, and this verse 36, we have the witness of the signs or the works that Yeshua, the Messiah, have accomplished in the midst of the nation of Israel. We read in verse 36, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Now notice, beloved brothers and sisters, this is fascinating because he's now speaking about the works that he had done or the signs that he have done in his life when he was here upon the face of this earth. The signs that he have done prove that he is indeed the promised one of God, that he is God the Son, that he is the Mashiach, that he is the Messiah, the Savior of sinners. And what of the works? When you really think about that, we can look at many other passages. For example, in John chapter 2, which we have already covered, in verses 7, 8, and 9, we read, it says, and Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And you remember what we read in verse 9, and the water became wine. This was in Cana, in the Galilee, in the north of Israel. Yeshua miraculously, in the power of God, changed the water and made them wine. This is a miracle, beloved friend. This is a miracle that he has done. This is a sign, it's a proof, it's a sign. In Hebrew, we call it ot. These are not only miracles in a sense of entertaining people. These are otot, signs, works that he have done to validate his messiahship, to show that he is indeed the Messiah himself. In fact, in John chapter 3, we read that when Nicodemus came to him, he said to him, he came to Yeshua by night, verse 2, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher that come from God, for no man can do these signs, these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Apparently, there were more than just the sign that he have done by changing the water into wine in Cana of Galilee. Apparently, he have done other miracles, because at the end of chapter 2, there were many that came, and when they saw his miracles, which he did, they believe on him. But he confronted them because they only believe on him because of the miracles, because of the signs, but they didn't believe on him unto salvation, recognizing that he was divine. And so, beloved friend, the first witness was Yohanan, John the Baptizer himself. But greater than John the Baptizer were the signs that the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, have done. To remind you, that in our very own chapter, in where we studied the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John, We have already read that he have healed the man that was 38 years there with infirmity, seeking to be healed, but he had no one to heal him. And Yeshua said, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed, and he walked. That was the miracle that Yeshua did on that Shabbat day, according to the Gospel of John, and the confrontation was against and with the Jewish leaders, the spiritual leaders of Israel. And so this is very important, and to remind you once again, that Gospel of John tells us again and again, with many, many other signs, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So the signs, the works that Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, did are an evidence that he indeed was divine, equal with the Father. So I'm rereading verse 36, John 5, 36. "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me." And beloved friends, listen, there was yet in a chronological events in the Gospel of John where he will do the greatest work that ever happened in throughout the history of the universe. The work of redemption, where in chapter 19, our blessed Lord Yeshua the Messiah will cry that cry in John chapter 19, where he will say, "It is finished," John 19 and verse 30. "And he bowed his head and he gave up the spirit." That is the work of redemption, to save a sinner, that the Messiah came to this world in order to provide redemption for mankind. This is essential to understand. This is the greatest work that ever have happened in the human history. Greater than creation is redemption. Greater than creation is redemption. In Hebrew, the word creation, bria, to create, bara, but redemption, yeshua. This is the wonderful truth of the work of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, which he will accomplish as we continue through the study of the Gospel of John. And as far as you and I are concerned today, he have already cried that cry, "It is finished," and that was the greatest work that he have accomplished for your salvation and for me. And how thankful ought we to be that Yeshua finished the work of redemption. Well, as we continue on in verses 37 and 38, we have the third witness. The Hebrew word for witness is ed. We have Yohanan, John the Baptizer, the first witness, the first ed. Then we have the works that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, have done. This is the second witness, the second ed. We have already two witnesses to prove that he was indeed sent from heaven to become the Redeemer, the Messiah. Well, we read of the third witness in verses 37 and 38. And so we read, "And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not." So here's the third witness that the Lord Jesus the Messiah present before the spiritual leaders. The Father sent the Son, and he witnessed to the Son's Messiahship. He witnessed to the fact that the Lord Yeshua, Jesus, indeed is the promised one of God, that he is indeed the promised Redeemer. And you remember, we read in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13, Then cometh Yeshua from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have a need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Yeshua answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, Yeshua, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened. Listen to this, beloved friend. The heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amazing. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Can you imagine? This is Matthew chapter 3 and the last verse of this chapter. In Hebrew it says, Zebni Yedidi Asher Ratziti Bo. This is my beloved Son, in whom I found all my delight, in whom I am well pleased. This is so amazing, my dear friend. God himself gave a testimony to the fact that this is his beloved Son. This is his beloved Son. In Matthew chapter 17, we also read, in the first 8 verses, when the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, transfigured on that north mountain in Israel, most likely is Mount Hermon, and he was transfigured. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white like light. We read, he was transfigured before Peter and James and John. And then, behold, there appeared unto them Moshe and Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Yeshua, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, Eliyahu. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And here we add the words, Hear ye him. And you see, because the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, was transfigured, and they, in a sense, the disciples could see this kingdom to come, the Messianic kingdom. And the Messianic kingdom is represented by the Feast of Tabernacle prophetically. And therefore, Peter was so overwhelmed, he wanted the kingdom to come, the kingdom to come, the Messianic kingdom to be established, Israel restored, blessing to the world. And that's why Peter said, Lord, he said to him, look at this, here, let us make here 3 tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacle, the kingdom is coming. One for you, one for Moshe, one for Eliyahu, because Moshe and Eliyahu will reign with the Messiah during the Messianic kingdom. Peter wanted to hasten the Messianic kingdom to come, but the Lord had to tell him, to teach him this important lesson. The Father said, no, it's not yet the Messianic kingdom. The Feast of the Tabernacles cannot come before the Feast of Passover will come. The Messiah, Jesus, had to be one that will die for the sin of this world, first of all, and become the Passover lamb before he will become the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's why it said, the voice of the Father said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then he said, Hear ye him. And what Yeshua said all along in the previous chapter, chapter 16, Yeshua said unto the disciples in verse 21, he said, I must go unto Jerusalem, and I must suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and I must be killed and be raised on the third day. You see, Jesus, the Messiah, taught the disciples that he must first become the Passover lamb. He must fulfill the Passover feast that was prophetically speaking about himself to die and to be buried and to rise again. He could not go to the Feast of Tabernacles. He could not bring the kingdom before sin will be judged at the feast of the Passover. And so the Father, Abba, gave witness to the Son. And here we learn this in this wonderful passage here in the Gospel of John in chapter 5. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, so far, Yeshua the Messiah presented before the spiritual leaders of Israel this important fact that upon two or three witnesses shall any matter be established. The first witness was John the Baptizer. The second witness was the works that the Lord Jesus the Messiah accomplished here on earth in his life. The third witness was God the Father who declared, "This is my beloved Son." And so he really fulfilled the requirement that was given to Israel by the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15, "One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established." Now you notice in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15, two or three witnesses had to be brought to the front in connection with sin and iniquity that anyone in Israel will do. But here we have the sinless one, the undefiled one, the one who did not sin, who knew no sin. In him there was no sin. And yet here he presenting three witnesses to prove that he was indeed the promised Mashiach, the promised one of Israel, God, the Son who became a man in order to provide redemption. But you see, as far as the spiritual leaders were concerned, he was sinning by violating the Shabbat. He was sinning by claiming to be equal with the Father. And therefore, they would want to punish him, but they have to bring two or three witnesses, which later on, two or three witnesses came forth who were false witnesses. But here the Lord himself providing three witnesses to the fact that he was indeed the Mashiach, equal with God, equal with the Father, and indeed the one that came from heaven. But now notice, there is one more witness that Yeshua presents before us in verses 39 to 47. And I tell you, this is so important because in these verses, we saw that he presented John, he presented the works, he presented God the Father, and now verses 39 to verse 47, he present the Word of God, the Hebrew Scriptures, the Torah, Nevi'im, Ktuvim, the law, the writing, and the prophets, the Scripture, the one that spoke concerning the Messiah. And here it is one of the most important things that it is in the hand of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Bible, the Hebrew Scripture was. In your hands, in my hands, we have the Scriptures today. Paul said in Romans 10, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And the Scripture says that the importance of the Word of God for any testimony concerning the coming Redeemer. And so in verse 39 to verse 47, the fourth and final witness is the Word of God, the Scriptures. And so we read in verse 39, notice how beautiful Yeshua is saying to them, "Search the Scriptures." Search the Scripture. Notice that. You need to search the Scripture, he saying to the spiritual leaders of Israel. He said, in fact, he's telling them, you are searching the Scripture because you think that in them you have eternal life. Okay. But these very same Scriptures give witness to me. In Hebrew it says, "Atem dorshim me'al kitvei kodesh." You know, the word me'al, it is very customary, my dear friend, to pour yourself into the Word of God. When the Jewish people historically studied the Word of God, they were really pouring themselves, you might say, into searching the Scriptures, searching the Word of God. They wanted to know about the coming of the Messiah. They consistently were searching the Scripture again and again and again, seeking to find whether, when, and how the Messiah will come. And you see, this is amazing because it is true that historically the people of Israel searched the Scripture, waiting to know how and when the Messiah will come. And that's why it is puzzling. Unless the Spirit of God opening one's eyes, no one will be able to understand the Scripture. That's why the Spirit of God is essential to understanding of the Word of God. And so, I just want to read to you for a moment a verse or words that are found in the Scripture concerning the searching of the Scriptures throughout the ages by the people of Israel. If you notice, Peter wrote about this, and I will make a reference for that a little bit later, but you see the Lord here is saying, you search the Scripture, in them you say that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He says in John chapter 5 and verse 39, and you can see that the Scripture itself again and again testifying concerning the coming of the Messiah. Notice, for example, in Genesis 3 and verse 15, he is called the seed of the woman. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5, he was pointed to become the Lamb of God, as Isaiah 53 says, as a lamb he was led to the slaughter. In Exodus chapter 12 as well, in the earlier verses, the blood speaks about the blood of the Messiah. In Leviticus chapter 17, says the blood make an atonement for the soul. All these Hebrew scriptures that were given to us pointing to the Messiah. Every sacrifice point to the Messiah. Everything that is written in the Tanakh is pointing to the Messiah. In fact, in the book of Numbers, in chapter 24, he is called the star that will come out of Jacob. And in Deuteronomy chapter 18, he is called by Moses a prophet like unto me, God will raise from among you. You see, there was the searching of the Scriptures that the people of Israel have done over the years that ought to have led them to recognize that Yeshua is the Messiah. And so he said, you search the Scripture, in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. In verse 40 he says, but ye will not come unto me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know that ye have not the love of God in you. You see what happened, my dear friend, that this is where religion hardened the hearts. When our hearts are not tender, and when we are not submissive to the clear word of God, and we are even going through the motion, it becomes a religion. And what happened to the Pharisees, who began so well from the days of Ezra, who was a scribe, who wanted to write the law so the people of Israel will be able to understand and to submit to the word of God and to eventually come to recognize the Mashiach when he come. But when there was a deviation from the simplicity of the Word of God, there was a turning away, and what happened is that eventually Israel did not recognize that Yeshua was indeed the promised Messiah. And so the Lord had to say to them very sadly, he said, I know, in verse 42, that ye have not the love of God in you. Verse 43, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another will come in his own name, him ye will receive. Now, this is amazing. because Yeshua knew very well what's going to happen, that once Israel did not accept him at his first coming, there will be a time at the tribulation period that when there will be a false Messiah who will rise according to Daniel chapter 9, and he will make a covenant with the nation of Israel for 7 years during the tribulation days. And Israel initially will acknowledge, will accept him, make a covenant with him. And then he's continuing really to emphasize concerning that day that will come, and that this false Messiah whom Israel initially will make covenant with, he will rise up and he will claim that he is God, and he will reveal himself that he is not the true Messiah, that he is the false Messiah. And sadly, that false Messiah will persecute the Jewish people, and he will cause harm to the nation of Israel, and the persecution of the Jewish people during the tribulation period will be a terrible time. As Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 30, calling it Jacob's trouble. And so Yeshua is here predicting this. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, not in the name of God, not in the name of God the Father, but he will come in his own name, him ye shall receive. In verse 44 it says, how can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? You see what happened, beloved friend, in this verse 44. We learn of the fact that Yeshua pointing that when you seek honor from another and not from God, you will never be able to see the truth of God. You will never be able to understand. Today, you and I, my dear friend, if we seek honor for men and not honor from God, we will never be able to enjoy the things of God. We need to learn to take honor from God and not from men. My dear friends, you and I are in the same danger today as these Pharisees and Sadducees were in days of old. And so he continued, Yeshua, in verse 45, 46, and 47, as he concluding, presenting before the leaders the fourth witness, which is the scripture. We read in verse 45, 46, and 47, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moshe, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me. Notice, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his, that is Moses' witness, this is the law through the law, how shall ye believe my words? And oh, how sad it is, my dear friend, that Israel, because of the leadership of the spiritual leaders, Israel at his first coming did not accept Yeshua the Messiah. And therefore now, for the last 2,000 years, our people are still scattered. The vast majority are still outside of the land. Israel has not yet enjoyed the promise that Yeshua wanted to bring, the Messianic kingdom. And sadly, there is the waiting, the final day of the tribulation, when at the end of it, Israel as a nation will accept Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. Let me read for you just a few verses from the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In verse 25 of Luke chapter 24, we read, and he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Messiah to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And notice what it says in verse 27. And beginning at Moses, this is the law, the Torah, and the prophet. This is from Isaiah to Malachi, from Yeshayahu to Malachi, to Malachi. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures. Here's the Hebrew scriptures, the Tanakh, the things concerning himself. You remember what he said in John chapter 5? He said in verse 39, you are searching the scripture, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Look at Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. Yeshua continued in the upper room in the city of Jerusalem to speak to the disciples after he showed them his hand and his feet after the resurrection. He said to these, you might say, joyful but then fearful disciples who are really amazed that now they have the risen Mashiach in their midst in the city of Jerusalem. He said unto them in verse 44, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. This is Torah Moshe, this is the law. And in the prophets, this is the Nevi'im, the prophet. And in the Psalms, this is in the Tehillim, in the writings, in the Ktuvim, concerning me. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Oh, my dear friend, you know, this is fascinating. This is really fascinating because the people of Israel were waiting for the coming of the Messiah, but sadly, they did not recognize him as the Messiah. This is really sad, beloved friend, dear brothers and sisters. Sadly, and up till today, unless the Spirit of God opened their understanding and their eyes, no one will be able to understand who Yeshua the Messiah is. And I just want to read final verse that is found in the book of Peter, 1 Peter, the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, and I'm going to close this. Notice what Shimon Petros said in his epistle when he was writing. He said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, he said, of which salvation the prophets, now these are the prophets of Israel, the prophets have inquired and they search diligently who prophesies of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of the Messiah, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, the suffering of the Messiah, and the glory that should follow. You see this, beloved friend? You see this, beloved brothers and sisters, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and search diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Peter writing to these early Hebrews who reminded them that faith in Jesus the Messiah came to them because others in past history have spoken concerning the Messiah to come. It says they were searching, 1 Peter 1:11, what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Anointed One, the Mashiach, which was in them, did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, the suffering of the Mashiach, and the glory that should follow. You see, he must come first to suffer, becoming the Passover. And then he must come in a second time to become fulfill the Feast of Tabernacles in the future day, and he will come in glory, that the time that is yet to follow in the soon coming day. May the Lord hasten that day, and the Messiah will come very, very soon and establish all that which he promised in his word. Well, my dear friend, what a wonderful passage this passage is. The fourfold testimony concerning the claims of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, that he was divine, that he was God, that he was equal with God the Father, that he was the Mashiach of Israel and the Savior of this world. Well, my dear brothers and sisters and dear friend, may God bless this word to encourage all of us, and may we be encouraged. May many who hear the word, who even hear this message, will come to know the Lord Jesus the Messiah, whom to know is eternal eternal life. Well, God bless you, and I will say right now, Shalom, Shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.